It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
Where the pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Welcome to quantum number 51. Again, coming to you through the magic of technology from downtown Sydney. And as you hear perhaps in the background, the beeping lorries in the traffic, that's because it's being recorded in the City Bible Forum office here in Sydney. Well, look, I want to begin with something that I think is of great importance, and that's cricket. Now, some of you have spoken to me or written to me and said you don't quite understand my enthusiasm for cricket. Those of you who are talented, cultured, intelligent are aficionados of the sport. But there are others who struggle with the whole concept. So I listened to this wonderful program called More or Less, and they had someone explaining what cricket was. Listen to this.
Cricket clearly is one of the more complicated games in the world. At its base, it's a fairly simple contest between someone with a ball and someone with a bat trying to hit the ball, and various other bits of wood and people are involved. In one day international cricket, each team gets 50 overs, 50 lots of six balls, with which to score as many runs as they can. Each team has 11 batsmen, and when 10 of them are out, the innings is over, or if they use all 300 balls, the innings is over.
I think we've already proved that cricket's a game with a confusing vocabulary, so we'll be simplifying things as much as we can.
Now, I think it's wonderful what happened with the cricket. Congratulations to New Zealand and England, who played one of the greatest matches, if not the greatest one-day match ever. And again, it shows you that if the rules change, someone different can win. I mean, it really should have been a draw, but because England had scored more sixes... Oh, I know, I'm beginning to sound like a bore, aren't I, for those of you who don't know cricket. Well, anyway, because England had scored more sixes, they won. A few years ago, New Zealand would have won because they'd lost less wickets. But anyway, congratulations to England. It was the best of sport. And really, cricket's just a wonderful, intelligent, exciting game. And I cannot wait for the Ashes. And yes, for my American friends, that is a five-day game which could end up with nobody winning. That's how it works out. But you love cricket. And I'm dying to get to see some more cricket down in Australia, where it's still a big sport. Now, speaking of the person who makes the rules, or those who makes the rules, one of them is the Speaker of the House of Commons, John Bercow, who is meant to be neutral, but seems to make things up as he go along, and he often just expresses his own opinion, as he does in this clip. Listen to this.
In the exchanges, I'm going to permit myself two observations. First, in my experience over 20 years as a Member of Parliament, very often when people say we haven't been properly consulted, what they really mean is you haven't done what I told you to do. Secondly, again on the strength of experience, you can't appease bigots and hobophobes. You have to confront them and defeat them. And my strong sense is that there is unity across the House in that conviction.
Now, if Mr. Speaker were ever to listen to such a commoner as myself, I would like to point out two things. In my experience, when a government says they're going to consult, that's the last thing they mean. What they mean is that they have already decided what they're going to do, and they're going to tell us why we should be delighted in what they are doing. And secondly, when someone like Mr. Speaker talks about bigots and homophobes, what he means is that those who disagree with him on any aspect of his ideology must be a bigot. Ironically, the language that he uses is itself bigoted. Because to disagree about whether children should be taught that same-sex marriage is good or not, is not the same as being a bigot. In fact, to insist that everyone holds to the same view as the kind of liberal progressivism of Mr. Burkow, or they are to be excluded, they need to be dealt with and confronted, is itself bigoted. And that's the kind of thing that we face up with, as these following stories show. So let me tell you the story of Dr. Alan Josephson, who is a distinguished psychiatrist who has taught at the Division of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry and Psychology at the University of Louisville and turned it into a nationally acclaimed program. He appeared on a panel at the Heritage Foundation in 2017 and shared his professional opinion on the medicalization of gender-confused youth. And as a result, he was suspended and effectively fired. And he's now in the news because, in effect, he's suing the university. Now, what's going on here? It's, Mr. Speaker's, bigotry. You are not allowed to have a different point of view or you will lose your job. And speaking of bigotry, let's just think about the bigotry that goes on if you dare to disagree with the secular progressive agenda. Now, there was a kind of bigotry in Scotland that still does exist in some places and in Northern Ireland, where there was a kind of anti-Catholic bigotry. And it was bigoted against a particular group of people. You may disagree with Catholic theology, but bigotry and discrimination against people because of their religion is wrong. Well, I found myself in a rather strange position in this past week, because there is a Catholic SNP MP, Dr. Lisa Cameron, and she represents East Kilbride, Les Mahago, and she voted, along with her colleague Peter Grant, against the UK government imposing abortion and same-sex marriage on Northern Ireland. Because of that, she's received more than 900 messages attacking her, abusing her, and threatening to deselect her. And it's possible that she may well lose her job, all because she stood up for the unborn. Now, I've written to Lisa to express support, and I know the hammering she's been taken. And I have to say this, that as a Catholic MP, I have far more support for her than I do for someone from my own denomination who is a member in the Free Church. And I have to say this as a Free Church minister, I'm absolutely ashamed of this. Ian Blackford is the SNP MP for Skye and Wester Ross, and he is the party leader in Westminster, often seen on television. And he, I can hardly believe this, I'm so ashamed of this, but I have to say it because I would critique other church leaders or other people who were involved in this. And so, you know, we have to say this about my own denomination as well. It is beyond embarrassing that Ian Blackford, a Free Church member, has voted and encouraged others to vote to impose abortion and same-sex marriage on Northern Ireland. I'm almost speechless because I have nothing to say in defense of that. It is an absolutely atrocious, wicked, and evil decision. And my sympathies are entirely with Lisa Cameron. I find myself entirely on the side of the Catholic MP and totally against the Free Church MP. It's embarrassing for the church and it's embarrassing for Christianity when this kind of thing happens. Okay, let's continue with the bigotry theme and see how this works out in life. Do any of you ever remember singing this cringeworthy song? I believe you me, we'll play the clip just now, and you won't get it out of your head for days. Mr. Noah built an ark, the people thought it such a lark. Mr.
know I pleaded so, but into the ark they would not go. Down came the rain in torrents. Down came the rain in torrents. Down came the rain in torrents, and only eight were saved.
Mr. Noah built an ark. The people thought it's such a lark. Mr. Noah pleaded so, but into the ark they would not go. By the way, I think it's a happy, clappy, snappy kids song. I'm not sure it's appropriate to sing about the world being destroyed in that way. But anyway, let's leave that aside. Here is, I think, again, another example of the kind of bigotry that exists in our culture, where volunteers from a church-run playgroup have been banned from a public library's rhyme time because they're singing songs that are about the Bible. So Mr. Noah built an ark being one of them, apparently, and God has made a rainbow being another. And they banned them because they include religious material. Now, it would not surprise me if they allowed a drag queen in to teach the kids. But to sing songs about the Bible and about God, oh no, 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 we can't have that. And that, I'm afraid, Mr. Speaker, is bigotry. Now, one of the issues I'm most concerned about is the protection of children. Because once you remove the foundations and the walls on which our civilization is built, although you may claim to care for children, you often find that you've removed much of those protections. And here's an example where the ex-chief prosecutor, I think his name was Nazir Afel, describing what the Labour government did in 2008.
You may not know this, but back in 2008, the Home Office sent a circular to all police forces in the country saying, as far as these young girls who are being exploited in towns and cities, we believe that they've made an informed choice about their sexual behaviour, and therefore it's not for you police officers to get involved in. If that's the landscape coming from the top down in 2008, rest assured, all agencies are going to listen to it.
Now, this is at the time of Rotherham and everything else, the sexual abuse of children, the gang sexual abuse of children. I don't want to say by Muslims, because I think that is really unfair, and I don't want to say by Asians, because that's really unfair, but it was Pakistani gangs who were doing that. And because social workers and others were terrified of being either racist or Islamophobic, they did nothing. But also because the Home Office gave that instruction. You think about what that instruction was. These girls have made informed choices, therefore don't get involved. If we in our culture are saying that young children can choose to change their gender, if we are saying that children, in effect, should be treated like adults, then how long before we say that children can also make sexual choices? That really is the direction in which we are heading. And let me keep going with this, because figures out this week showed that far from same-sex marriage giving a boost to marriage and helping the figures, marriage is in decline. Now, I believe that Peter Tatchell and others supported same-sex marriage because they believed that it would be a way to achieve one of their greatest aims, which was to destroy the patriarchal institution of marriage. And I think they were right. And I think these figures out this week help show that. Marriage is being demeaned. It has been demeaned, and it continues to be demeaned through the divorce laws, through the focus on sex and sexuality, and through the removal away of the Christian understanding of marriage on which our society had been based. But speaking of children, listen to Jess Phillips, the very articulate and in some ways someone who comes across really well, Labour MP. Listen to her explaining her reason for leaving her son on the doorsteps of the Prime Minister in number 10 Downing Street.
Austerity measures over years and years of degraded school budgets in Birmingham, in Bournemouth, in Stockport, in Brighton, all over the country, to the point where school can't stay open any longer for 5 days a week. It's Theresa May's and the government's responsibility to educate my children and all the children in the country for 5 days of the week, and she has failed. So parents like me we'll have to find extra childcare. What are we going to do with our children on Friday afternoons? And this is thousands of children across the country. So today I've left Danny here to show that the government has a responsibility to be looking after our children for at least 5 days a week.
To me, this is an extraordinary clip. Listen carefully to what she's saying. She's saying that it's the government's responsibility to look after my children 5 days a week. No, 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 no. It is your responsibility to look after your children. It is not the state's responsibility. You ask, what are parents going to do on a Friday afternoon if school is closed? I don't know. How about be with your children? Yes, I realize that people have to work, but we have minimum working hours. Many people will be able to rearrange, but the bottom line is it's your responsibility to look after your children. And this notion that the government can bring up children, that the government can look after children, is a ridiculous one, and one that is doing and causing so much harm. And speaking of harm, the most depressing news came out about Scotland this week, that the number of drugs deaths has gone over 1,000, in fact over 1,100 for the first time ever. More than 1,100 people in Scotland died from drugs overuse. And of course, the immediate cry is it's politicised and weaponised. People say it's the Scottish Parliament or it's Westminster. And the immediate cry is, well, we need more safe places for people to inject drugs and so on. No, and again, no. We need to understand why people take drugs. What makes them take drugs in the first place? And we need much more rehabilitation. You know, we don't need to help people to kill themselves slowly and safely rather than quickly and ugly. We need to deal with the drugs problem. We need to imprison for a long time those who deal in drugs. We need to cut off the supply and we need to provide help for those who are addicts, genuine help. Not just put them into prison when they steal, and then as soon as they come out of prison, they're met by their dealer, and within a couple of weeks, they're back in prison again because they've had to steal a car to sell off to fund their habits. I mean, it's so heartbreaking and it's so depressing, and yet, having lived in Dundee for 27 years, having been attacked by a drug addict, having buried a drug addict, having seen so many, I know the pain and the heartbreak and the struggles and the depressions and how easy drugs are to get. I've seen school kids queuing up outside a flat where the police knew that the woman was dealing them drugs and did nothing. School kids. What chance do they have in a society where drugs are tolerated like that? Okay, let's go to America and to Donald Trump. He's done it again, hasn't he? Now, when I say that, some of you will say, oh, yes, what's the story here? The story is, of course, that there were four congresswomen who are on the extreme left of the Democratic Party. He said to them, they're, as they say, women of color. And he said to them, they should go back to where they've come from. Yes, it's a racist thing to say. It's a standard trope and it's awful. And yet, I think there's a big mistake that the press, the liberal press, are making here. I think Trump's playing them. He knows that the people who would be desperately offended by this were never going to vote for him anyway. And he's made the story about himself yet again. Also, what he's seeking to do is goad people like Nancy Pelosi to support these four congresswomen and to have, I mean, their policies are so extreme that they would almost guarantee his re-election if any one of them had those policies in a candidate for the next president. So, personally, I think Trump's doing what he's good at, creating news, creating fuss. I don't think he's dumb in that sense. And I think it's a mistake for the Democrats to fall into that. But I also think the degradation of our politics and our language is something to be mourned on all sides. Here's my insane story of the week. And given something of what we've talked about already, I suspect you're saying, what, there's more? Yeah, this one. This was revealed in the House of Lords. A senior Northern Ireland office civil servant was paid £10,000 in compensation because he was offended at having to walk past portraits of the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh. This man called Lee Haggerty, who was then promoted to become secretary and accounting officer of the Parades Commission, was paid the money after he had complained, offended at having to walk past portraits of Her Majesty the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh. Oh my goodness, I am owed so much compensation by so many people for the things that I've had to walk past. That's, you know what that's an example of actually? That's an example of the rich and powerful and those in the know being able to get what they want. Would ordinary people ever get anything like that? Not at all. Did I say that was Ridiculous Story of the Week? No, it's not. Apparently, this is the Ridiculous Story of the Week. Australia does not exist. Flat earthers claim that. They claim the entire country is fake and that it was a hoax made for us to believe that Britain moved criminals over there to some place. In reality, all those criminals were loaded off the ships into the waters, drowning before they could see land ever again. So Australia is just a story invented as a cover. Sorry, as a cover-up for one of the greatest mass murders in history. Well, I'm looking out my window at hundreds of people, thousands of people walking past me who are in Australia right now, this fake country. But apparently we've all been deluded because the pilots are all in it. In reality, we're apparently all in South America. Oh, dear. What can you say? I love the fact that this NHS worker called Dave Marsh says that his research has destroyed Big Bang cosmology. And it's interesting because I've received a number of posts this week from Christians saying the Big Bang has been disproven, and from militant atheists saying the Big Bang has been disproven. They're strange, strange allies and a strange, strange world, even if it is round. Let's move on to something else. Do you, and I hope you don't, watch The Bachelorette, the kind of television program that makes you lose any kind of hope for humanity? Well, I don't watch it, but it came to my attention because of the fuss around one of the contestants called Hannah B, who professes to be a Christian, and she helped remove another who professed to be a Christian called Luke P. And Luke had said that he thought sex before marriage was wrong. Why he was appearing in this program, I have no idea. But it was what she said. She said, "I've had sex and Jesus still loves me." And listen to this clip as she explains why she said that.
There's a moment where I really just have to, like I said, like figure out who I am and not let anybody judge that. But yeah, I think there was just a moment where I was in a place where I felt that I was being looked at differently than who I actually am, and I know who I am, I know who I am and whose I am, and I don't want to be judged for that because nobody should ever be judged for anything that they do. Mm-hmm. Because they're supposed to love each other, not judge.
Now, I don't have time to go into the depths of what's wrong with that. But you'll notice how me-focused it is. I feel sorry for her because I think this is indicative of the culture that we're in. And it's indicative of an appalling theology that sounds good. Well, God accepts you as you are, and Jesus loves you as you are. And basically what she's saying, I can go and do what I want, and God's grace, God will always forgive me. And, you know, I can go and sin because God has done this, and God is like that. And it's an appalling teaching. It's an abusive teaching. It does so much harm. Where on earth did she get the idea that no one can judge you for what you do? That is the very basis. The dead are judged according to the deeds they have done in the body. It's one of the lies that's come from the pit of hell. And so we should be judged for what we do. I walk out and I stab somebody, I abuse somebody. Yeah, yeah, I'm responsible. I'm a moral being. I cannot just go, and I'm sorry, Hannah, I can't go and rut like a rabbit just because I think, oh, well, God loves me, and I just do what I do, and it's all about me and me and what I want to be and who I am, and no one has the right to judge, although I'm going to judge the ones who are doing the judging. Oh, so depressing that this is done in the name of Christianity. Now, speaking of abusive theology, although on a different level, Mark Driscoll is back in town.
So I think I've gone so far as to say, I think the whole young, restless reform movement, Time magazine said I was one of the thought leaders that helped create that. I don't hold to the 5 points of Calvinism. I think it's garbage, but so blog about that. But anyways, because it's not biblical. But nonetheless, that whole young, restless reform, God is father, but he's distant, he's mean, he's cruel, he's non-relational, he's far away. Mm. That's their view of their earthly father. So then they pick dead mentors.
Right.
Spurgeon, Calvin, Luther. These are little boys with father wounds who are looking for spiritual fathers. So they pick dead guys who are not going to actually get to know them or correct them.
Right.
And then they join networks run by other young men so that they can all be brothers. There's no fathers.
Right.
And they love, love, love Jesus because they love the story where the son is the hero because they're the sons with father wounds.
Right.
But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me.
Right.
Jesus forgives you and the Father heals you.
Yeah.
The reason that Jesus saves you is to get you to your dad. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are forgiven and they're not healthy because they don't know their dad.
Yeah. Now, I put a link to an article that I wrote that was picked up and put on Premier Christianity. For those of you who don't know Mark, he is an amazing preacher. And he toured the world as kind of a leader of the young, restless, and reform movement. And he did a lot of good. But he became arrogant, he became proud, and he fell. He was removed from his church collapsed amidst claims of plagiarism, taking money to promote his book, and above all, bullying. Well, in a pattern that's sadly being repeated in the United States many times now, major leader falls, major leader ends up coming back and starting up his own church stroke denomination yet again, and this is what Mark has done. But in the clip that we just played you, he attacks Calvinism and all the rest of it. Now, I've written about that, so I'm not going to go into a great deal about it, but just to say this, the Reformed view of God is not of God as a cold and distant father, but the very opposite. Ironically, on the day that I heard this clip, I just read John Owen about the love of God, which was as profound and as deep as Mark Driscoll's is shallow and superficial. So it grieves me. It does grieve me, but I thank the Lord that the church has been under attack from heretics and personality cults and celebrity pastors from the beginning, and yet the Lord still preserves and keeps his church. And speaking of which, let's take some good news from America. Joni Erickson Tada, if you've never read her story, please do read it. Well, last year we were told sadly that she had cancer, and now she's just announced that she's been pronounced clear of that cancer. And I do think that's wonderful news, because although heaven is her ultimate destination, she still has a great deal, I believe, to do on earth. And she's one of these faithful Christians who've been faithful to the Lord over many, many years, despite severe handicap. And I've met her in a lift once, actually. I have an absolute great admiration for her. May God bless her, and I strongly recommend that you read her story, and you read indeed what she's written, and I think you'll find it very, very helpful. My article of the week this week comes from the Gospel Coalition Australia edition, and a wonderful article from a man called Akos Baloch, who is asking, does religious freedom lead to the Handmaid's Tale?
I was asleep before. That's how we let it happen. When they slaughtered Congress, we didn't wake up. When they blamed terrorists and suspended the Constitution, we didn't wake up then either. Now I'm awake.
Remember your scripture. Blessed are the meek.
And blessed are those who suffer for the cause of righteousness.
you may be aware of The Handmaid's Tale. I watched the whole of season one. I have the book, but I can't be bothered with season two and three. What The Handmaid's Tale is, let me put it this way. If the West Wing is the liberals' idea of heaven, The Handmaid's Tale is the liberals' idea of hell. A world in which American fundamentalist men, white men, have taken over and are destroying the planet and manipulating women and banning abortion, and they're a religious cult and everything like that. Well, the article is superb because it shows how this fear of Christianity turning into some kind of theocracy is completely misplaced and is just one of these tropish scare stories. Follow the link and read it. Excellent article. And here's my quote of the week. Comes from the Catholic Herald. Oh, well, it doesn't actually. It comes from St. Augustine. Let me just tell you what it is, and then I'll tell you why I'm quoting it. "Let us never assume," says Augustine, "that if we live good lives, we'll be without sin. Our life should be praised only when we continue to beg for pardon. But men are hopeless creatures, and the less they concentrate on their own sins, the more interested they become in the sins of others. They seek to criticize, not to correct. Unable to excuse themselves, they are ready to accuse others." That's a great quote. But guess what? Facebook banned it. More than once. Because it doesn't meet their standards. Because it's considered to be hate speech. Go figure that one. A post which is telling us not to criticize others, but to look at our own sin, is removed because it's considered to be hate speech, criticizing others. Way to go, Facebook. That shows what happens when you've got an algorithm and no wisdom. Well, see you next week. Any news, comments, feel free to pass it on. Going to go out with my favorite piece of music just now, the cricket theme from Test Match Special. Feel free to support Quantum on the Podbean. And God bless you this week, wherever you are in the world. May we see his kingdom come and his will be done. Amen.